first of our series of lectures on wholeness is my ideal expression, beingness. We're all interested in what wholeness is. And we think wholeness is to be complete. We think wholeness is to be the totality of all that could be in the world. But that's not what it is. Wholeness is not something we're going to be, although we're saying here, beingness. Wholeness is the reality of all that exists. All that exists is wholeness. Wholeness is not something we're going to be, and you cannot be wholeness because you already are. You already are the ideal. And this is what we're looking at, the ideal of beingness. If someone said to you, are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you a child? What would you say to them? Would you say to them, I am a person. I am a being. I am an ideal. And if you are the ideal, then what sort of a being are you? What sort of person are you? Are you a person who is beautiful, who is fulfilled? Are you a person that's going to be tall because you're short? Are you a person that's going to be slim and have a beautiful figure because at the moment you're skinny or you're fat? You know, what kind of person are you going to be? What is your beingness? Your beingness is not something that is going to change. Your beingness comes into one area in your life, and that is the area of awareness. Are you aware of who and what you are? Sibyl came over and showed me her iPhone, and on the phone, on the smartphone, was a picture of another person. A beautiful picture. Lovely picture. But it wasn't the whole person. The person was standing there with clothes on. You couldn't see their body. You don't know what sort of body. Maybe they're healthy, maybe they're not. And the person is sort of relaxed. You don't realize that they're a fantastic golfer or wonderful tennis player or an Olympic swimmer. You don't realize this by looking at the outer. Just because today you're not expressing yourself as an Olympic swimmer doesn't mean that that's not in your soul, in your heart, in your being. It's not your reality. It's not what you're going to reveal. You're going to be aware of it very soon in your life because it's who you choose to be. Our world is filled up with people who would like to be something. People who would like to express something, people who would like to shine forth something in their life, shine forth something in their being, and they're not. They want to be a tennis player, they want to be a golfer, they want to be a mother or father, they want to be happy in their business. They want to do all these things. That's impossible. That's impossible to do all those things. You already are. You already are. Someone said to me the other day, what would happen if your mom called you and said, hey, Herbie, what you doing? And I'd say, well, I would turn to my mom and I'd say, well, for goodness sakes, I thought we buried you a long time ago. I thought that you were no longer in my world. Oh, I'm in your world. I'm in your world because I'm part of you. I'm part of your nature. I'm part of who you are. I'm part of the allness, the beingness that you are. And if I heard my mother calling me and saying, hurry, come here, I would run there as quickly as I could. I would run there like a teenager, not like a tiny baby or an old person. I would run like a teenager. Hi, Mom, what you up to? How you doing? And she'd say, wonderful. I've been hearing good things about you. I've been hearing good things about your world and how your life is going. I say, yeah, it is going very nice. She said, why did you wait 50 years before you started having it going so beautiful and so nice? Why did you wait so long? And, well, I had to learn the talent of playing tennis. I had to learn the talent of singing. I had to learn the talent of doing. No, you didn't. You always had it in you. That's your real nature. You just were not aware of it. And you were not aware of it because you were listening to other people in the world who said, you've got to take 12 years of piano before you can be any good. Can you imagine if they would have said that to Mozart? 3-year-old kid. His father was at a meeting with other guys, and he heard his violin being played. His expensive, beautiful violin being played. And he ran out of the meeting, and he says, who's playing on my violin? And here his 3-year-old son was playing a beautiful concert on the violin. Wonderful. Fantastic. How can you do that? Because that's who I am. That's my being. That's the essence of who I am. That's the only reality of who I am. I am that, and I'm aware of it. Now, Mozart obviously didn't have the wisdom to say that to his dad. He just says, look, Dad, I'm playing. And his father had to say, you play so well, I certainly can trust you with my violin. You play so well, I certainly don't have to worry whether you handle the violin or not. You will treat it like a treasured instrument because it's expressing the divinity within you, the magic within your soul. Now, how many of us are taking the tennis racket in our hand and expressing the magic in our soul? How many of us are swimming in the Olympics? How many of us are taking a walk and one with nature, happy with all that we see? How many of us are singing and saying, wonderful? Why is it we don't do this? We don't do this because we are living in a world that has been habitually saying, you have to train to do this. You cannot come up. Here we got all these entrepreneurs, these young kids, you know, like Imube over here. And what do they do when they sit at the computer? They make the computer sing. They make the computer do all sorts of wonderful things. Do we have to worry that they're going to mess up the computer and follow up the programs and stuff? If they do, then we set them right again. It's not something that you can't take care of. But these young entrepreneurs, 8, 10, 12 years old, they're expressing an allness, a wholeness from within them. They don't have to think how to do it. They don't have to think how to do this wholeness and how to. They just know it. They just know it. When you do something that you love, what happens? You package your love in whatever you're doing. And when you package your love in whatever you're doing takes on a life of its own, a beauty, a magic about it. And you're so happy about it. You're so pleased that you're doing that. But you don't tell other people, this is how I do it. You just go and do it. You just go and be lovely. You just go and be who you are. And you're not even aware of it. It's your nature. It's the essence of you. It's the genius of you, the magic of you, the wonder of you. Now, are you ready for something like that? Are you ready to be your wholeness? Are you ready to have that wholeness expressed in and through your life right now? Are you ready for that beingness to be demonstrated in your world? Are you ready? And your answer to me is no. No. How many times have you sat down and fiddled on the piano? Just poked the notes. I don't know how to play. And you said, I don't know how to play. But, all right, next time you sit down at the piano and poke at the notes, say, I am a wonderful player of the piano. I play the piano beautifully. I play the piano with magic and dignity. I play the piano with wonder and all this is good. I play it like that. How can you say you play it like that when you're not playing it like that? You've got a great big curtain in front of you that says you can't do it. You have a great big switch in front of you waiting to be turned on that says you can't play until you turn the switch on. This is a genius switch. Mm. Are you ready to turn on that genius switch? Well, no, if I do, they'll expect me to do it all the time. Well, what's so bad about that? What's so bad about doing all the time the wonder, the magic, the glory that you are? What's wrong with doing that? I say to people, hey, you know how to do that, don't you? And they say, no, I just do it, but I don't know how. You know how to do that. You know how to do this difficult computer program. You know how to do it. No, I can't do it. Show me how you did it. I don't know how. They just did something beautiful on the computer. And then they say, I can't do it and I won't do it. Boom, boom, boom. Boy, oh boy. Why are they doing that? Because they don't want to be expected to do it all the time. It's really a shame. We all do this to ourselves. We hurt ourselves. We destroy ourselves every time we say, I can't do it. We destroy ourselves every time we say, it's not so. Now, when Ibu Bey sits talking to us at the table, he talks with a beautiful voice, clearly, distinctly. Why? Because that's his nature. It's his nature to be a beautiful boy, a beautiful boy that speaks beautiful words, that shares himself with a magic of vocabulary that we didn't even know he had. And then all of a sudden he starts telling us how to do something. We say, how do you do this? But of course, our dear friend Daniel, and then we say, Daniel, how do you do this? He says, just a minute. So then he takes it in his hands and he looks it over and he fiddles around with it. And I said, well, aren't you going to read the instructions? He says, no, I don't like to read the instructions. He says, I like to just get the feel of it. I like to get the feel of it. And then after about 2 or 3 minutes, he's got the feel of it and he's working it out. He says, yeah, this is how it works. This is how it goes. And he's exactly right. But he would never pass an algebra test. Because in algebra, you have to tell how you got the answer, how you arrived at the answer. And this is how most of us are functioning in life. We're looking at how do you arrive at that? Instead of saying, within me is all knowledge. Within me is the genius. Within me is the entrepreneur. Within me is the magic person. And when we say that again and again and again, then we express that in everything we do. We express it in every idea that comes to our mind and every word that comes into our heart. We express it, and then we are it. We are it. Are you ready to be aware? Are you ready to know who you are and what the truth is about yourself? Are you ready? You can, you know. And if you're ready, then there's only one thing that's holding you up from doing it. And that's going out and doing it. Going out and doing it. had an opportunity on one of my birthdays to go up in a hot air balloon. And we had talked to many different people, and they were friends. Oh, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go. Or I want to go. I want to go. They're both kinds. And so what happened? What happened was those who went had a beautiful experience. Those who went saw magic taking place. Because here was the man who was the pilot of our balloon. He caused the balloon to go up. Now that went too strange. He just put hot air in it. He turned on the fire and heated up the air that went up into the balloon, and the balloon went up. When he got to the height he wanted to go, he shut the air off, or he did it lower. He didn't really give so much, so that we would stay at a given altitude that was happy for him. And then, after an hour or so of this, we came to the place where we were going to settle down. And here was the place he wanted to settle down. His car was parked there. Other people's cars were parked there. And so he had to bring his balloon in line with that. And here's 15, 18 people in this balloon floating up over the countryside, looking down at Bill Gates' home and other beautiful places. And what happened? He knew what he was doing. I'm sure he practiced this a couple of times. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just had an inner genius. And he set that balloon down. Here's a fence right here, and like this here. He set the balloon right down in the other side of the fence, where the balloon, when the air was left out of it, would fall down on an open field where it wouldn't be caught up into a fence. Now, how did he do that? How did he have the wisdom to do that? How do you know what the wind is going to do? Now, is the wind going to blow this way or blow that way and make his balloon go where he didn't want it to go? His mind. He visualized where that balloon was to go. He visualized how that balloon was to get there. He visualized the manner in which the balloon was going to go up and the manner in which the balloon was going to come down. This is an awareness. Now, does this happen every time? Yes. If it doesn't happen, what is the reason? He didn't believe in himself. He was not persistent and consistent with the idea that the balloon did what he wanted it to do. He was the balloon captain. He was the pilot of that balloon. He knew his business. And he had 18 lives in the balloon, plus his own, floating up there in the sky. And he knew what to do. And he did it beautifully. Now, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they're always flying balloons because the winds are consistent. The weather is consistent. They fly a balloon up, and then they take it up another 1,000 feet, and then the wind is coming from the other direction. And so it brings the balloon back. They know what they're doing. My son Mark, with his little gadget that tells what's going on everywhere and what's going on with the wind and what's going on with the airports and all that sort of stuff, he knows exactly which way the winds are blowing by that gadget, because he reads it on there, because that gadget takes from the information from the weather bureaus and other places like that to know exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And when I'm flying with him, I feel absolute confidence. I feel absolute safety. I feel absolutely good about it. Not one hesitation in me. Now, are you ready to be the Mozart you are? To be the what's his name? Federer, a great tennis player. Are you ready? Now, there are three boys. They're called Il Volo. And they started out at what the age, maybe about 10?
15, 16.
And they're 20, in their 20s now. Well, when they were 15, 16, they wanted to sing everything opera, standard, everything. And their coach said, okay, we'll get you coached in everything. And so they sang everything. But they were kids, and they liked to have fun while they were doing it, and they had fun while they were doing it. And they're laughing at each other, and they're laughing at themselves, and they're just having fun while they're doing it. And every day, and this is going on for years now, every day they're getting better and better and better. They're taking a veil from in front of themselves that says there's a limitation that they don't know. And they know. They know. They sing beautifully. Oh, perhaps they're not a great opera singer, but if they were to train themselves, they would be. If they were to train themselves with the wisdom and saying, I know how to sing it now. I know the genius in me now, and I can do it now. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's their choice. Whatever they want to do is what they're doing. You wanted to be here today for this seminar. You wanted to be here. Nothing could have stopped you. Everything gave you the opportunity to think, no, I'll do something else. No, I'll travel somewhere else. But no, you chose to come. And so, because you chose to come, you're going to have an incident take place in your life. It's going to open up the magic door within you. The magic door that says, I have the right attitude of mind to do anything. I have the right attitude of mind to do anything at all because I am my beingness. I am my openness. I am who I really am. Now, are you who you really am? Are you who you, do you know who you really are? Do you have the slightest idea of who you really are? Ellen has a couple of kids, and each child lives their life differently. And her daughter, Mariella, has five kids in them. And these five kids are fantastic. They're, all their names begin with an M, you know. And the mom and papa's names are beginning with M. But these kids were raised out of Ellen's wisdom. Because Ellen always said to them, all is in divine order. Everything is fantastic. For years she's been saying it to them. And now they're saying it to themselves. And each one of these five children is a genius. Each one of these five children is fantastic. No matter what they do in school, they're great. No matter what they choose to do in work and life, and so it's great. And they find the perfect lover for them. Not necessarily anything else other than that.
It's okay.
I'm sorry?
Okay.
Well, why say something?
I didn't say it.
They find their life to be fantastic. Now, isn't that wonderful?
Sure.
This is what happens when we put our hands over our heads, you know, we relax. Sometimes we touch a glass and it tipples over, but it doesn't matter. I'm sure worse than that since still in that chair. We've had our puppy dog sleeping on the chair. Now, what did you tip over, Abu Bay? A bowl of what?
Candy.
A bowl of candy, right? If you want some, you're welcome to have some. But there, it's a bowl of candy, and that's been there for 6 years now. And it's still perfectly good. Nobody did or checks on it, but it's perfectly good. Now, why do we accidentally knock things down? There's no accident in life, is there? There's no accident that takes place in our world. It's not bad, it's not good, but there's no accident because we would like to have a little bit of attention. We're in a group of people, as Evo Bay is in a group of adults here, and we're all giving attention to what we're talking about, and he would like a little attention. And so, it tipped over. And is it going to hurt anything? Not in the slightest. No, not in the slightest. Now, is he being himself and having fun? Why does he want attention?
Because
he wants attention like Ellen likes to get attention. Ellen would come to the table sometimes and start sneezing or coughing. And she wants attention. That's all she wants. Now, she wants attention because she wants people to notice her instead of just noticing each other. Now, why do we need that? And we do need it. We need that because we feel that we're not getting enough attention in the world. Now, if you know beingness, and if you know wholeness, who gives you attention? Christy, who gives you attention?
Me.
Me, that's right. It isn't so hard to say that. We each give ourselves all the attention we're capable of handling. And if we give ourselves attention that we're not capable of handling and we fall down and trip over it, then we've learned a lesson. But why you fall down and trip over the attention you give yourself or other people give yourself? Why? You have a problem with it because you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe that you are Elvola. You don't believe that you're Federer playing tennis. You don't believe that you're all the wonderful things life has to be. You don't believe it. We watched a show on TV the other day, and it was about this young boy who was a member of a family, and it was a mixed-up affair. And so the father wanted the boy to be active in school and sports and stuff like that. And so the kid went out for baseball, and he couldn't hit a ball. He couldn't catch half of it. And so then the father got a hold of champion baseball player, top of the mark. You know, everybody knows his name because he's good, he's good, good. And he used to take the boy and train him to be a good batter, to play well, in just a few short days. And so he took the boy, and he said to him, okay, what would make you a good player? And the boy says, I don't know. What would make you be able to hit the ball? I don't know. He didn't want to face it. He didn't want to face it. He knew, but he didn't want to face it, because if he said he knew, then he'd be expected to practice that. And I don't know, we all do that too often. But the fellow who was the top baseball player, he'd been through that with himself and others. And so he said, let's have confidence in ourselves. Just have confidence that you can do it. Now, throw me the ball. And so this whiz caught the ball. He said, only, now throw it this way. Now throw it this way. Now throw it this way. Throw it this way. Now throw the ball to me so it goes right over my shoulder. And as he had the boy doing these things, the boy is getting confidence in himself. He's getting a realization that he could do it. That the beingness, the allness, the awareness of his talent was there. And then he had the boy hitting balls. And the boy hit the balls. And he did a lousy job. He always missed the ball because he expected to miss the ball. And so the coach said to him, hit the ball because you know where it is. Now it's right there. Now you take your bat and you hit it. Don't think that you're going to take the bat and knock it out. The bat's going to hit the ball. Your thought is going to go where that ball is, and the bat's going to go right with your thought, because that's the way you do it. And after an hour or two of doing this, the boy got the hang of it. He got the hang of it, and he was able to hit the ball very well, beautifully. And then that evening, they had a game. And so the boys, time up to bat came, and he was in front of his friends who all knew he couldn't hit. He couldn't catch, he couldn't play very well. And what happened? he didn't play very well. He struck out, and his coach was behind the fence where you could see him, though, and his coach goes, "You can do it. Remember the eye on the bat and the ball together, you know it." And so the boy stopped being unlike himself and started to have his eye on the ball. And the bat went to greet that ball right where his eye had it. Bang! And he's out of the field. Fantastic. And they all carried him around as a wonderful winner. But why didn't he do that all along? He didn't know the technique. He didn't know. When with our friend playing golf.
When Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, yeah. When Tiger Woods plays golf, Tiger Woods is a lousy golfer. Because to play golf, you have to hit the ball a little here and a little there, and you have to keep going across the fairways and the greens and so forth, and you have to hit the ball and hit the ball. Well, Tiger Woods' father taught him to put his eye on the ball and then see where he wanted that ball to go and look where he wanted that ball to go and hit the ball and put it where he wanted to go. Where did he want the ball to go? Can you tell me?
No.
Where?
The hole.
In the hole. In the hole. From the tee to the hole. No matter what the distance was, he wanted that ball to go in there. Now, that is impossible for most people because they don't think on such grand attitudes. But he did. He did. Then he had to train himself to not do that. Because if he always put the ball in the hole, whatever, people wouldn't want to play with him. Because he'd be no fun, because he was just too good. He was just too good. He knew exactly how to do it. And you and I, we know exactly how to do it. And when we know exactly how to do it, what do we do? What do we do? We're not playing the game the way the game is to be played. The game is to be played by the inchworm. If it's just a chomp, then everybody says, "You're too good for me. You're too good for me. I can't play with you because you just put me down too much. You know, I can't do that." But of course, they can. All they have to do is have a papa like I thought Tiger Woods did. We taught him, keep your eye on the ball. How many golfers tell their students this way? How many golfers tell them to do that? Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. When you hit the ball, see it going right where you want it to go. When you hit the baseball, it going out over the fence. Home run. And that's beautiful. But sometimes you don't do it. Now, Babe Ruth was a major hitter. He was a major hitter. He hit so well that he was the greatest in his field. And other people tried to be like him, but they couldn't. Why? Because they didn't believe in themselves. He believed in himself. He knew that his attitude was everything. And his attitude was, I am the best. I am divine. He might have been saying, I'm God. I am good and very good. Should we be any less than our creative cause? Should we be any less than our divinity? Should we be any less than the allness that we are? And right now, to be the best of the allness that we are, what happens when we do that? We're having fun. It's not that we're trying to play against anybody or trying to win. We just win because that's where the ball goes. And top players, when they play with children, when they play with beginners, what do? They let the children win sometimes. Oh, you lost, you lost, you lost. They didn't lose. They let the children win. They let the others win. They let them win so that they would want to play the game. It's fantastic. Now, we've seen people playing chess, and we've seen this Russian fellow playing 15 games of chess at the same time. How did he do it? He played each game at one time. He played each game. His eyes were like a motion picture camera. They took in everything they saw, and he knew what play he's going to make. But his thought, his brain, his intelligence took in the kind of person that this other player was, how they played. Were they playing intelligently, or did they play logically? And if they play logically, they're going to lose every time. Because in divine qualities, there is no logic. There's no reason. There's no balance. In the divinity, you say, well, oh, man, I'd like a life that has balance and logic about it, because that would be so nice to have. But would it be nice to have? Would it be nice to have a life that's full of logic and full of balance and full of harmony and full of peace? You want a life that is. That's all. A life that is. Not to be. Not wishful. But a life that is. And when you have a life that is, what have you got? You got it all. But it truly doesn't make you a happy person. How many of you ever watched Star Trek and you saw Spock? And Spock was pure logic. And he knew the second what the time was. And he knew this and he knew everything. And so whenever something would come up, he would give his logical analysis of it, which is the way that it really worked. But then he'd say, now let's do it in an illogical way. Let's do it in a way that is not going to be one that somebody else is going to follow. So that we have the way of being totally in charge of what's being done. And when he did that, he was always good. Now, Spock was 24 times stronger than anybody else. Spock was 100 times faster mentally than anybody else around him. Spock was a genius. And as a genius, people tried to use him. People tried to control him and manipulate him. But no. He knew exactly what they were doing, and he went on to something else. He went on to something else that caused them to totally be off base. Now, you and I, we want to be on base with our absolute divinity, with who we are, what we are, where we are, where we're going in life. We want to know who we are. We want to know what's going on in our life. We want to know that. Now, how do we know it? We know it by letting go and being our divine self. Letting go and being our divine self. Now, did it bother Eva Bay to tip over the candy jar? Not the slightest. We were bothered because we heard the noise and we saw the tinkle. It didn't bother. Yeah, don't do it again. You can do whatever you want. He's master of himself. But why do we let things in the world bother us that have nothing to do with this? Nothing to do with anything at all. And we are so silly to do that, because as we do that, what are we doing? We're giving up control, possession, direction, power of ourselves. We're giving up our own reality. We're giving up our own causation. Now, there is no cause and effect. That's contrary to what we teach and have taught and have lived for a long time. There is no cause and effect. Because everything what?
Is.
Everything is. We're not making it happen. We're not making it be it. It is. Now, what can we do? We can make things be revealed in a lesser nature if we wish. But that's only because we're going backwards. We can never go forward and be more than what we are. Because we are the all. We are the totality of the universe. We're the beginning and the end. I was always happy when Ogo would come into our seminars. And when we were in Nigeria, I'd give a talk, and he was at the back of the room. And by the time the talk was half over, he was in the front of the room. And next thing you know, he's sitting next to me, listening carefully, saying, you know, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And then he was hearing us talk in the hospital where he worked, and but we were talking about psychiatry, and we were talking about psychology, and we were talking about these things, and how to do that, you just be yourself and be a master. And he says, I'm a medical doctor. I think I'm going to become a psychiatrist. Like that. Now, why did he say that? Now, is Ugo a normal psychiatrist? No. A normal psychiatrist takes home his patients' illnesses and unhappiness. Ugo doesn't do that. Ugo takes home all of the happiness of his patients. He takes home all of the joys and the magic of his patients. And he works with them. He works with them on their magic and on their joy. He works with them. And he thinks that's just fantastic. Now, why was he such a master? He was such a master because he was around people who respected his mastership. He walked into the underground in London to pick up a friend. And what happened? The underground blew up. But he wasn't there. He was not at that location, just about there, but not there. Why wasn't he there? Because he surrounds himself with his pure white light of love. He surrounds himself with his purity. He surrounds himself with his genius. He surrounds himself with his now. And you and I, we can do that too. Surround ourselves with the now. Surround ourselves with the fabulous qualities that we are. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Or are you going to continue being the silly person that you are? Tony Robbins would have expressed it a little differently. Are you going to continue to be the silly person that you are? Or are you going to be the wonderful person that you are? And the wonderful person that you are says, I know that I know that I know I'm the genius. I know that I know that I'm the wisdom. I'm the allness. I'm the beingness. I am the wholeness. And if that's what you're going to say, what's going to happen to you? If that's what you're going to say, you're going to be aware that you're pretty fantastic. You're pretty remarkable. You're pretty much a genius. If that's what you're going to say. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to jump in with both feet? To jump in? Are you ready to go up to the swimming pool up there and just jump in without testing the water first? It'll be cool for a moment, and then all of a sudden you're comfortable. Or are you going to stick your toe in and do it little by little and say, oh, I think I'll do this later, more another day. I think I'll do this. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. You don't have to be any part of anything. You can just go up there and sit down on those benches or whatever and be relaxed around the edge of the pool and just say, I know that I know. I am divine. I am peace. I am that I am. I am the fulfillment, just like it says in our paper here. See? My ideal expression, beingness. Can you be the beingness that you are? Can you be the magic that you are right now? Are you going to pull that curtain aside that says you can't do it? Are you going to take all those can'ts and all those would-be's and wannabes and wishes that you were and throw them out the window? Or are you going to know that you are magic? You are magic. You are wonderful. You are fabulous. And it's up to you. It's up to you whether you want to be that now. Do you want to be that? Really? Tony Robbins had a seminar of 2,500 people, and he charged each person individually, what was it?
$4,995.
$4,995 for each individual for the 1 week seminar, for the 1 week program. Now, he scared the bejabbers out of them. He moved them into a different space of consciousness. But when he was done with him, he says, now, relax. Now, peace. Now, a big hug. A big snuggle. Now, relax. Why don't we go for the big hug? Why don't we go for the big opportunity to be there instead of having to go through all the nonsense? If Ugo could say to his clients, and I know he does, what wouldst thou of me? I am the Christ. I can only see you whole and pure. If Ugo would say to his clients, what would you like from me? To tell me your problems and feel sorry for yourself? Or to tell me the solutions you would like to implement in your life, implement in everything you do? Would you like to be an implementor of truth, of wholeness, of perfection, of wellness? Now, that's what he said to them. And what happens to them? What happens to them is that they let go of the past, which is already let go. It's already past. Nobody can relive the past. Because as we relive the past, we relive it with a good attitude or bad attitude about it. And we do those things. And is that what we want to do? And the answer is no. So are we going to live in the now? So as Ugo says to his clients, what would you like now? What kind of a world would you like to live in now? What kind of a family would you like to have now? What kind of a business would you like to be in for yourself now? What kind of a children would you like to have? Would you like your children all to be geniuses like Mariella's children are? And like Diego's child is? Would you like that? Or like my child is? Or like your children are? Would you like them to be geniuses? Would you like them to be expressing the magic within their soul? You can do that. But it means paying attention to being yourself now. Paying attention to being whole and perfect now. Paying attention to living in this moment now. And as you live in this moment now, what happens? Magic things happen to you. Magic things happen to you, and you are a very happy being. A very happy being. I look at my clock, I can see the ticking, you know. But be that happy being that you are. Be whole right now. Be aware that there's nothing else in your life that needs to be done except for you to be yourself and have fun. And if you are living your highest and best being yourself and having fun, you will be doing the right thing for everybody in this universe, in this world. Everybody who looks at you will say, hey, that person is being themselves and having fun. We have all seen nice people every once in a while being themselves and having fun. And they just slip through our consciousness because we have, in the past, had the unfortunate situation to say, too good to be true. Too good to be true. That can't be for real. And yet, the man or woman, or men or women that we see in our life, being themselves and having fun, we're afraid of them. We're afraid of them because we could never live up to them. Because you don't have to live up to yourself. We could never be as good as they are. And you cannot be as good as they are because they are on a different track than you are. But they're being themselves and having fun. You be yourself and have fun. And as you be yourself and have fun, get that ball where it is. Get that golf ball into the hole. Who cares? You're having fun doing it. If you So you get into a sand trap, and there you are in a sand trap. You don't think of getting out of the sand trap. Many people do. They just get it out of the sand trap. That ball is in a nest, and your club goes perfectly under it. And your eight iron just carries it right up onto the green and then rolls it or pops it into the cup or rolls it into the cup. And if you see a couple of other balls along the way, you just knock them in the cup too and you got them all in like playing billiards, you know. And everybody, hey, you put me in the cup. You put me in the cup. You put me in the cup. And that's playing the game with fun. That's playing the game with magic. That's playing the game in every beautiful way. And that's who we are, beautiful. We are beautiful beings, and we're playing the game with magic. We're playing the game with wisdom. We're playing the game with our inner beingness, being ourselves and having fun. Nobody can tell you how to do it, because it's just your heart that does it. Little children, because they're having fun. And Mama says, come on in now, time for supper. And they're playing in a puddle of water. And they got their little boats in there, and they got their little people living there and marching around there. And Mama says, come on, get clean up, supper. So they say, okay, I am turning off this adventure of my life with all my people and the lake and so on. And they jump up in the air and plunge down in the middle of their lake, and their lake goes everywhere because that game is over and they're ready for another game. They won't try to remodel the game. They won't try to make the game better, go back to the same joy they had before. They'll find new joys, new love. And that's what we are looking within ourselves to find, new loves, new beings of perfection, new beings of light. And you can have that new being of light today. Let's close our eyes for a moment. And let's recognize that we live in a wonderful world. We live in a world filled with joy and peace and harmony. We live in a world that is already fulfilled, already revealed, already accomplished. And ours is just to be aware that it is accomplished. Be aware that you are a genius. Be aware that you are wonderful. Be aware that you live in an ideal spirit, mind, and body. Be aware that you're the ideal driver. Be aware that life is wonderful. Be aware. Be aware of this because this is who you are. And this is all that you are. And nothing else matters. So as you're aware of that, you live yourself into a world of happiness and peace. You live yourself a world of all that's good. And it is a world now that everyone should have and does have. So claim this for yourself and live it today, knowing that in all areas, I love you. I love you. I love you.